This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. In Iraq these days, there are disparate measures of the challenge facing the U.S. Today, two American soldiers were killed, and several were wounded in separate attacks, one in Baghdad and one in the town of Fallujah. And in Washington, the coordinator of the U.S. occupation, Paul Bremer, put a monetary measure on the task ahead. He told the Washington Post it will cost tens of billions of dollars to rebuild Iraq. Meanwhile, President Bush told the American Legion yesterday that the transition from U.S. control of Iraq to Iraqi control is progressing.
Ultimately, the security of Iraq will be won by the Iraqi people themselves. They must reject terror, and they must join in their own defense. And they're stepping forward.
New police, new border guards, he said, civil defense workers, and soon soldiers are being recruited and trained by the thousands. Is it all working? Well, joining us to talk about the challenges facing Iraqis in rebuilding and governing their country are two Iraqi emigres. Adid Dawisha is a political scientist at Miami University of Ohio and joins us from the studios of WMUB Radio in Oxford, Ohio. Welcome once again to the program.
Thank you.
And Issam Al-Khafaji is, appropriately enough, a professor of nation formation at the University of Amsterdam and joins us from New York City. Welcome, Professor Al-Khafaji.
Thank you.
First, Issam Al-Khafaji, you actually were part of the new Iraqi Reconstruction and Development Council, and you quit. What's going wrong, as you see it, in Baghdad?
Well, what's going wrong is exactly what President Bush is putting as a must. We were trying to do these musts. We were trying to build the state, and we saw that Iraqis were not welcome to advise or to play a partner role. And the question mark is this: are we paying the price? And by we, I mean the Americans and Iraqis together. Are we paying the price for that unilateralism?
Adid Dawisha, Professor Al-Khafaji is describing a situation where decisions are made by the Americans, or perhaps with the British input as well, and then they're presented to Iraqis as fait accompli. Do you see it that way? And if so, why is it being done that way?
Well, probably this was true in the first 2 to 3 months. My impression is that the Americans are learning from the mistakes that they have committed. And I hope that learning from these mistakes means that they are now much more willing to include Iraqis. And I actually do get the impression with the formation of the Governing Council and giving the Governing Council the kind of authority that Paul Bremer in the beginning did not want to give it. There are also a lot of interesting experiments going on in the rest of Iraq and other cities than Baghdad, where local councils have been encouraged to take over the affairs of their own communities.
Issam Al-Khafaji, do you see some progress there since mid-July, as Adid Dawisha does?
Yes, I do. I agree mostly with what Adid has said. And look, I mean, they are learning. All of us are learning. But have they learned altogether? No. Unfortunately, this is how things are going. History does not allow you that pleasure, that luxury of looking at things and correcting your mistakes one by one. But some mistakes cannot be corrected that easily. The 400,000 Iraqi army that has been thrown to the streets, you cannot say, well, sorry, we committed a mistake and now here are your salaries back. The point is this. Yes, the provincial councils are working more or less in a good way, in a smooth way, but why aren't they allowing them to have their budgets? Why aren't they allowing them to recruit the police force rather than a laboratory scheme to send some 40,000 to Hungary, Budapest, to train them over 18 months?
That's the police training you're referring to.
Yes, and this tells all of us something which is more significant than the security and the electricity, which are they are very reluctant to hand the supervisory, the real decision-making to Iraqis until, and I'm sorry to say that, more blood is being shed in the streets and they come out and see that their schemes are not working.
Adid Dawisha, how would the United States affect such a handoff without simply appointing Iraqis? That is, how would it place Iraqis in authority who would enjoy some legitimacy and some respect from the Iraqi public if indeed they're all simply installed right now by the U.S. authority? Or should there be elections instantly to create legitimate authorities that would then appoint all these people?
Well, the best route certainly is to have elections and get the Iraqis themselves to elect their own representatives, and that would give Iraq a legitimate government. The problem for the Americans at the moment is the security situation is so bad that the idea of elections at this present time is really not tenable. If Paul Bremer is right in saying that we're going to have elections by the summer of 2004, I think that is a very reasonable goal to look forward to.
Before I let the two of you go, I'd just like to ask you your sense of what the security problem actually is in Iraq now. That is, I'm curious, do you regard, for example, Issam al-Khafaji, what's happening in Iraq today as a guerrilla war against the U.S. occupation and those Iraqis who are working with it? Or do you regard these as dead-enders, the last gasp of Ba'athism? Is it a Sunni resentment against being displaced? What do you think is going on there right now?
I would opt for the closer to the second prognosis, but not quite as you put it. Look, you are talking about a country as the size of California. You are talking about a country with a population of 25 million. If there were real hatred for the American, popular hatred or popular support for those who are attacking, then, God forbid, you would have at least some 100 casualties a day. The popular mood is far from that, and that's why I totally regret that President Bush talks about Iraqis must reject terror. This is the utmost proof that Iraqis have rejected terror, actually, have never subscribed to terrorism, because if they are in that mood, you would have something like of a catastrophic
something
proportion.
Much worse than what we're seeing. Sure. Do you agree with that, perhaps guerrilla war is overdoing what's happening right now?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I think there's probably around 2% only of the Iraqi population that I would call diehard supporters of Saddam. I think the main problem also is that the availability of weapons in the streets of Baghdad. The fact that there is so much weaponry going around, it allows any crackhead or any member of the security forces of Saddam to go and pick up weapons and attack Americans. I mean, in April and May, you could buy 5 hand grenades for $1. And if we can do something about the availability of this weaponry, I think things would improve. But I agree. The percentages of people who are attacking Americans are infinitesimally small, and they certainly cannot be called a guerrilla warfare.
Well, thanks to both of you for talking with us today. Professor Adid Dawisha of Miami University of Ohio and Professor Issam al-Khafaji of the University of Amsterdam. Thanks to
both. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.